What's up? It's your boys at the Off-Field Generals podcast presented by Tuned In Sports. I don't know about you. I'm already pumped.
The way that flows off the tongue. Oh. The Tuned In Sports.
Tuned In Sports. Beautiful.
But the music.
Gets you going, right?
Music coming back.
I'm ready. I'm here.
Me and you were talking about it before. We were discussing which of the NFL themes is the best.
Right.
I was a CBS guy. There's four main ones, right? There's CBS, there's Fox, there's ESPN, there's NBC.
Right.
I don't know if the NFL Network has like a little theme they do, but those are the four big dogs, the Mount Rushmore. I listened to the CBS and I listened to the Fox and I was like, I think I'm a CBS guy. And then I played that Sunday Night Football NBC
it
one.
It really does it.
And the blood started pumping, the chills from head to toe, chills. Because we are, really, by the time you're listening to this, we're one day away.
Oh.
Only one more day. Hopefully you've been preparing by listening to our part one and part two of the NFL preview. Part two we published last week. Part one was 2 weeks ago. We broke down the AFC in part one and the NFC in part two. Alex dodged a bullet. Russell Wilson, ACL and knee. Totally intact.
Still okay.
My jinx that I attempted to make 2 weeks ago.
It was sketchy.
Did not come true.
I was scared.
Winner is you.
Facts.
Winner of the week is you. Big shout out, though, to Tabo for being here. Because his car.
My guy.
His car got towed. We believe we know where it is.
We do know.
You do know where it is. Haven't been able to get in contact with the people that you need to get it back from. But crazy winds today here in Salt Lake, in the Salt Lake Valley, trees being blown over to protect the cars they had in your apartment complex. They had people move their cars, but you didn't get the message because of reasons that won't be mentioned. And so they had no choice, apparently, but to tow your car. Would you have rather it like a branch fallen on it and like dented the roof up a little bit, or would you rather have had it like towed? And now you have to like deal with the hassle of this.
It depends what the expenses are, right? Because I believe getting my car back will be somewhere around $40 to $55,
which is not bad at all.
So
we hope it's $40 to $55.
if it's a couple hundred dollars,
then that's not good.
Less
and it
than
depends
ideal.
How much it would cost to repair the hood. So. I feel like, this is the better one because it's another thing to like, if it wasn't, I mean, I guess it would, the only way it wouldn't be drivable is if it was towed or if it was totaled, but you know, having to set up an appointment to take it down to a shop and have it be gone for a day or two, at least now, like I can go get it back tonight. So
that's true.
Wrong place, wrong time happens.
What can you do? At least you really pulled through here. And you're like, you know what? Even though my car is somewhere in the Salt Lake Valley, I got to talk some sports with my guys.
Facts.
So hats off to you. Who's back? Tabo's back in the studio. His car is not back yet.
Nope, not yet.
Who's back later tonight will hopefully be the car.
It'll be the whole team.
Hopefully the car is back tonight. Who's back of the week, though, Alex? We'll start with you and make our way around.
Oh, man. Who's back? It's 2020 is back. All right? Because I was awoken from my slumber at 6:30 this morning to what sounded like jet engines. Okay. I thought Air Force, what is that? What's the Air Force base up there?
Hill.
Yeah. I thought they were running some tests. You know what I mean? And they were just
right over your house,
right over my boys. Yeah. Unloading. Turns out, no, it was Mother Nature doing her thing, knocking trees over, knocking our power out, putting power lines in our driveway. Awesome. Right.
But at least you didn't have to go to work.
I didn't have to go to work. I didn't have an option. Couldn't leave my house.
But like, even if you could have left your house, power was out at the
office. Power was out.
Is your driveway blocked off?
It was.
Nice.
Not anymore. Oh. We had a power line laying in the middle of our driveway. Live.
Should have just sent it.
Power line.
Should have just sent it.
That's not how
rubber
it works.
Rubber tires.
Yeah, but it kicks it back up into my metal car and then game over.
Just wear a rubber suit. Get in the driver's seat. Just send it.
I wasn't ready.
But you're here.
I'm here.
Eventually, they cleared it.
Yeah.
You guys, both of you, have faced a power line and you no car to be here. Because we got college football is back.
College football is back.
NFL is coming back. NBA playoffs are happening.
They're happening.
Commercial break. I was going to check the score of the Heat Bucks game, but it's a commercial break. By the time you're listening to this tomorrow, you'll have known the final score of the Bucks Heat game.
Yeah, Heat, we're going to wrap it up. I saw it out there. They're up by double digits.
Yeah. Who called it?
It's, well, I mean, it's 80, it's 87-80 right now.
A little too close.
Four and a half left. There's plenty time.
I've got it pulled up here. I'm streaming it. It's a commercial break, though. All I'm getting is the TNT commercial break in progress. But, well, it'll be live for us. I'll be giving live updates throughout the game.
Got it.
So throughout this podcast. We're back from commercial break. I'll be giving live updates. You, the listener, will have already known what happens because this will be tomorrow that you're listening to this. Here I am doing live play-by-play from the past. A blocked shot or a foul of Tyler Herro. That's what we're reviewing right now. But hats off to you, Alex, for braving the weather conditions.
Yeah.
In me, in Draper, there was no wind until like 11 o'clock this morning. And then it was like windy, but like it wasn't anything like out of the ordinary. And then when I was driving to work this afternoon from Draper up to Salt Lake, like I literally crossed the belt route at 76 South. And it was like entering like a wall
of
just like
wind.
Like I was fine. Like my car was breezy. Like I could kind of feel my car moving around in the lanes as I was going from Draper to Murray. And then as soon as I hit Murray, it was like I was having to like steer like to the right to avoid being blown to the left, like against the wind. It was crazy. But yeah, luckily no one's houses got smashed that we know at least. I mean, I'm sure someone's house got smashed.
Oh, yeah. No, there's when I drove my parents, there was our old stomping grounds you went to, dude, there's a huge tree that tipped and uprooted. The sidewalk is completely, like, flipped up.
Oh, yeah. Because those are some big trees in that neighborhood, and they're old, too.
And it went across the entire street and landed on two houses.
Oof.
So.
Rough.
Yikes.
Wow.
Rough.
You could say.
But we're here. We're here, and we're talking some sports. My who's back of the week is my expectations. BYU's offense last night put up 55 points. 55 by a BYU offense. And
listen,
no,
man,
it's not Lavelle Edwards and Jim McMahon. This is Kalani Sitake and Zach Wilson put up 55 points last night. They won by 52. I don't know which was more impressive, putting up 55 or only holding Navy to 3 points. So my expectations for BYU are through the roof. It's New Year's Six Bowl or bust at this point. Undefeated or bust for the Cougars this year. And I've officially talked myself into the Patriots winning the AFC East, even though they have like no wide receivers and a bunch of hurt running backs. No question about it. I'm ready to get hurt again by BYU. New England hasn't hurt me in my 24 years of life.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I guess since the 09 Super Bowl last year hurt, but it wasn't like I was expecting them to like go to the Super Bowl last year just because I could see the writing on the wall.
You've won enough.
Yeah.
Like, I've got him.
But this year, I'm like, Cam Newton's going to be an MVP caliber quarterback again. Doesn't matter that we released Mohamed Sanu and our best target is a 5'9", 35-year-old Julian Edelman. Like, here we go. Yeah. AFC East champs.
Next best is N'Keal Harry, who needs breathers.
Yikes. But I'm back. My expectations are back, and they're as high as ever.
Okay.
So we'll see. Throughout the football season, we'll get weekly updates, obviously. But that's where I'm sitting at right now. Just leading up to the NFL games this weekend, leading up to Miami versus New England, my expectations through the roof. So,
all right.
Fingers crossed for me and my emotional state. Tabo, your who's back?
My who's back, we're going to take it over to the world of music. My guy, Big Sean, is back.
He is back.
Coming out.
I was going to play his song with Travis Scott to open this up, but I was like, NFL starts this weekend, I gotta go with.
Hey, you know what? We all have our priorities. Big Sean dropped an album, Detroit 2. Pretty lengthy album, but I found myself
a few good ones
playing the same like three or four songs. I'm like, you know what?
As is any Big Sean album.
I think three or four will hit. Most artists only have probably a third of their album is like
Spoken like a true Drake fan.
No,
every album,
Drake's
there's only two or three good songs. That is, you are a Drake fan if you're saying every album only has two or three good songs.
Which is not true.
As a Kanye West fan, Taba, let me tell you, every album, every song should be a banger.
Well, last couple of years, Kanye is just like all misses, but at least
his album was a miss. Jesus King was a miss. You're telling me Life of Pablo was a miss?
No, but I'm saying
you're telling like me Kids See Ghosts was a miss.
That it's not his best work.
Well, with the bar is set that high.
But yeah, no, Big Sean is just send a reminder to people that he's like, not only is he all around just a good artist, but people just miss his voice. It's something that Talmadge and I always talk about. We're like, you know, Big Sean just says he's just good for music. Like he has a good sound, good flow, and he's just, you know, not very problematic. He's just kind of like, sure, like there's some drama here and there, but what famous person doesn't have a little bit of drama with them? But he's not just like either beefing or gang related or anything like that.
He's just a solid musician.
Yeah, Big Sean's a good guy.
Reliable.
So welcome back to Relevance. We're happy to have you.
Ooh. Billy Donovan.
Yes.
Not returning to the Thunder next year.
Who's back? Not Billy Donovan.
Who's not back?
Which is shocking, considering the job he did with Oklahoma City this year.
They did good.
Like, I thought he should have been coach of the year, just because of the expectations were so low. It's a four-point game now, Miami Bucks, 89-85.
Come on, bro.
Three minutes left. For the job that he did with Oklahoma City, the expectations were so low. We were expecting them to be rebuilding, and then for them to come into the playoffs, I don't know if it was a four or a five, just because there was no home court advantage, but they were either the four or the five, and they played Houston, and they took Houston to game seven, which I didn't expect at all. I thought Houston would win in five or six.
Yeah.
They took Houston to a game seven, had a chance to win game seven. I thought for sure he should be back. It would be interesting. I don't know. The New Orleans job, maybe. Billy Donovan bring him in to coach up Zion.
Maybe.
Potentially. I mean, I feel like he should be a coveted coach on the market right now. But we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we will see.
Just barely coming across.
Barely hitting the lines.
Yep. Hot seat. Apparently Billy Donovan was also on the hot seat. Who's back? Not Billy Donovan. Hot seat. Billy Donovan.
Exactly.
Who is your hot seat? We'll start with Tabo this time and we'll work our way this way.
Whoa, something just happened to my thing. It like switched font. But I still got it here.
hot seat, your fonts.
I'd say hot seat in the world of baseball, I guess this whole season, been the New York Yankees. Now that they have fallen to third in their division, as like, you know, if the season were to end today, the Yankees would not make the playoffs.
Which sucks for me because they were the team I picked to win the World Series in our draft.
Unfortunately. But it's good for America.
Yes. That's why I did it. Because I was like, if they win, then I win dinner. If they lose, then the Yankees don't win the World Series. Which, good thing you bring that up because a quick little update on our picks. Alex, you had the Dodgers.
Yep.
The Rays.
Yeah.
Who I believe are in first place.
Yeah.
And then the Brewers.
Doing a real good job over there.
Brewers, not great.
Yeah, but Dodgers, Rays.
But out of...
Yeah. Tabo.
Could be better.
Could be better.
You had the Astros, who second in their division. Not terrible.
To my only.
Nationals, who I think have like one of the, if not the worst record in baseball.
And they're 15-25. So yeah. They're...
Well, worst, I think that's... The Pirates are 14. Have 14 wins. Nationals have 15. So, not the worst record in baseball, but second worst record in baseball.
My Mariners are almost 500.
Texas has 11? 10? So I think Texas is the worst.
Yeah, no, Texas is actually.
Nationals, bottom five. And then the Phillies, who I think are right in the middle of their division.
Yeah.
Hopefully. They weren't doing so hot last time I looked at it.
I had the Yankees, who have completely collapsed.
Probably missed the playoffs.
I had the Twins, who started off hot and then have since collapsed as well. And I have the Braves, who I believe are first in the NL East. So each of us have like one good pick right now. Our NBA championship picks, Alex, all three of your teams are still alive, although two of them are on their way out.
Yeah.
You had the Clippers.
Yep.
You had the Raptors, who look like to be on their way out. And you had the Nuggets, who either the Nuggets will be the Clippers or the Clippers will be the Nuggets. So two of your teams, it looks like, are going to be gone. Tabo, you had the Bucks. who are down 5 with 2:15 remaining. You had the Rockets, so that's 1-1. We'll see tonight. And you had the Jazz, who are out. I had the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Celtics. Mm-hmm. And then I had the 76ers, who got swept. But no, none of us have Miami. They're the only team, I think, that is playing right now that none of us have.
Yeah.
So...
I'm so upset I didn't pick the Padres, man. That's one of those teams, man, because they are out here doing
San Diego, man.
We are under 2 minutes. It's 91-87. Just a heads up to both of you.
Sick.
My hot seat, speaking of, is my NBA fandom. And this is not a political thing. It has nothing to do with the Black Lives Matter. It has nothing to do with the politicalization of the NBA in the last recent weeks. My NBA fandom is on the hot seat simply because I'm getting to the point where I'm so sick of the superstar-driven league that is the NBA and how we are constantly talking about, even before people are free agents, we're talking about them leaving. I mean, you talked about Giannis to Golden State.
People have been saying that
5 days ago.
18 months ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The Bucks went down 2-0, and then the conversation turned on national sports outlets of where is Giannis going next. He still has a year left. Like, this isn't his last year. He still has another year on top of this in Milwaukee. We also saw from national sports outlets talking about Donovan Mitchell to the Knicks. Like, Donovan Mitchell wasn't a restricted free agent who still had, I think, a year left on his deal. Like, Donovan has a year left on his rookie deal, and then after that, he's a restricted free agent. So the Jazz can match whatever contract he signs. So why are we talking about Donovan Mitchell to the Knicks? So just, like, the sheer fact of, like, it's so superstar-driven has become such a turnoff to me for the NBA that I just – it's not fun anymore watching the games. Like, I can't – like, I'll watch – Milwaukee, Miami, just because I picked Miami to win and I'm curious to and I want to see them do well. I'll watch the Celtics because I'm a Celtics fan. I'll watch the Jazz because I work for the Jazz. But other than that, like, I don't really have any interest in Clippers Nuggets games. I don't really have any interest in Rockets Lakers. Like, I'm just so sick of how if you're not a top 10 guy in the NBA, you don't get any coverage. No one talks about you and you can't win a championship. Unless you have one of those top 10 players, you're not going to win a championship in the NBA. And it sucks. Because in the NFL, we see a third year, or I guess technically third year, it really was his second year playing, quarterback go to a Super Bowl. We see a second year quarterback in Lamar Jackson win the MVP. We see guys come and go. We see teams come and go, which is why the Patriots' success has been so unprecedented. But we haven't had back-to-back Super Bowl champs in the NFL since the Patriots in like 03 and 04.
Yeah, you really ruined that for us. Thank you. Appreciate that.
But like in the NBA, we see Golden State go to the finals 4 straight years.
And then we're going to see them for another 4
straight years. We see Miami win back-to-back championships and go to the finals 4 straight years. We see the San Antonio Spurs. It's just whatever dynasty is hot in that moment, right? And players are just going to the big markets. It is what it is, but... I'm slowly becoming turned off to the idea of the NBA. And unless I really like that team, then I'm not going to watch it. Yeah. Just because it's not interesting. I don't want to see, you know, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard team up in LA and then play LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who also teamed up in LA. Like, it's just not interesting to me anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
So, Tabo, you have anything to say for your league?
For my league?
I mean, you kind of started it, the Warriors, a little bit.
It's your fault.
Warriors, at least I will credit, they built it the right way through correct. The draft. Like Clay, Steph, Draymond, those are guys that
it was the one that they won with Durant, where it was like, well.
A couple they won with Durant.
But I think it's the reason why the media acts like the way they are now is because they're seeing the superstar players receive the superstar treatment, and they're like, oh, like, I have all the power in my hand. I can sit out, and they'll force them to trade me. Or, like, if you're going to keep me here, I'm not going to play. Or it's like, we can both somewhat compromise, give me a deal, or send me somewhere where you can get something back.
But so why, like, why for Giannis, who's spent his entire career in Milwaukee, they've been very successful the last couple of years. Sure, they haven't reached the NBA Finals, and it looks like they're going to lose this game. They're down 9 points with 35 seconds left. Chris Middleton headed to the free throw line. But it just, like, there's been no sort of inkling that Giannis doesn't like being in Milwaukee. They've had success. Sure, they're probably missing one piece to get over that hump, because Chris Middleton probably can't be the number two guy on a championship team. But so why are we now talking, when he's not even a free agent, oh, here's why he's going to go to the Warriors, or here's why he should go to the Warriors? Like, why are we advocating for these superstar players to leave these small market teams who have done everything right to then go to these other teams and just create these super teams? I just don't. Like, to me, it's not appealing anymore. It was fun with the Warriors just because they built it the right way and they played the right way. You know, it was fun to see a team of superstars who were all drafted there, right? I mean, if the Thunder would have kept it together with Harden and Durant, that would have been really fun, because it's three guys that you drafted who become superstars. It's not, oh, well, we're LA, so we're going to make terrible moves in the front office and hope eventually we'll get a guy like LeBron and Anthony Davis to force their way to LA. All right.
That was a lot. Well, I can touch on that. Just said previously, like, Giannis, everyone is saying that because, you know, Giannis, who's debatably the greatest player in the world, has seen KD, has seen LeBron. Like, if they're not happy, right, if they're not winning as much as an MVP should, that they leave. Yeah. They're like, they just get fed up. They just have no patience anymore. So everyone's like, oh, well, Giannis, like, you have MVP, you need rings and you need championships. Okay, clearly you're not getting them here, right? Like, on paper, you're not getting them here. So what did KD do? What does LeBron do? Oh, they just find somewhere else to go squat up with other people that are ring chasing, or that they need just one more piece that Giannis could just easily just show up and win rings there.
And this really started with LeBron, and not even LeBron's fault. It was LeBron had all the talent and all the skills, but the knock against him was always, well, Michael has 6 rings. So then the NBA slowly became a league where you have to win a championship to be recognized for your greatness, right? I mean, how many times do we talk about, you know, guys like Tim Duncan or Michael Jordan or LeBron James, and how little do we talk about guys like Charles Barkley and Karl Malone and John Stockton, right? We talk about, in terms of greatest point guards ever, most of the attention is pointed towards Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson, and then the knock on Stockton is always that he doesn't have a championship. And so in the NBA, more so than any other league, it's championship driven, as opposed to the NFL, right? We acknowledge that Dan Marino is one of the best quarterbacks of all time, even though he never made a Super Bowl and never won a Super Bowl. You know, we acknowledge the greatness of these players. We acknowledge that Barry Sanders is, you know, one of, if not the greatest running back in the history of the game, even though he never won a Super Bowl. We acknowledge the greatness of Adrian Peterson, even though he's never even sniffed a Super Bowl. So it's different in the NBA because it's so championship driven, which I get. And it makes sense why these players would want to go win championships for legacy purposes. But what I'm saying is, because the NBA has become so championship driven and so superstar driven, that it's really made it hard to have a rooting and a vested interest in it. Because if you're not a big market team, if you're not LA, if you're not Golden State, if you're not New York, you can't just sit back and wait for the good players to come to you. And if you're a small market team like the Jazz or Milwaukee or Indiana, you're pretty much just waiting for your superstar player to leave and to go to a big market team, right? You're just sitting by and you're like, hopefully we could make some crazy run like Toronto did before our superstar player leaves to Los Angeles, which sucks. It sucks. Like, if you're not a Laker or a Knicks, or, I mean, Knicks fans, it sucks for different reasons. But, like, if you're not a Laker fan or a Warrior fan or, like, a Brooklyn Nets fan right now, like, it sucks. I guess you could throw Miami in there, too, because you get LeBron, you get Chris Bosh's, you get Jimmy Butler's. But, like, if you're any other fan, you're pretty much just waiting for your best players to leave and go join one of those other teams.
Yeah.
Like, New Orleans didn't win, And you can criticize some moves, but they also traded Buddy Hield, who they thought was going to be a really good young player, for Boogie Cousins because they wanted to surround Anthony Davis with talent. Like, they can't control that Boogie Cousins tore his Achilles and now is washed up, and so then AD leaves because he's like, oh, well, you're not surrounding me with talent. Like, they did what they could, right? Cleveland did what they could in LeBron's second stint with them. They couldn't help that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green were three superstars at the time and that Durant joined them. Like, they can't control that, and so then LeBron's like, well, I have to go somewhere else where winning is easier. Like, these teams, they do things right. You know, the Jazz draft right. They make trades for Mike Conley. They bring in free agents like Bojan Bogdanovic, and then they lose in the first round because Bogey's hurt and no one else on the team steps up in the playoffs, and then the narrative is, oh, Donovan should go to the Knicks. Like, it's just, it's a mess. And it's a mess that you don't get in any other sport.
Yeah, true.
But that's my tangent for the day.
It's all good. It's all good.
Your hot seat.
So I've got two.
Alex.
One's really fast. But one of them is Steve Young and Troy Aikman's passing yards record.
I'm interested.
And guess,
caught my, guess my attention
who
speak.
Is ready to pass him?
Like career?
Career passing yards.
Russell Wilson. No.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Really? He's been in the league.
He is 56 yards away from Troy Aikman and 250 yards away from Steve Young.
Troy Aikman, people forget.
He's 560 yards away from Phil Simms. So he's like almost about to pass these boys.
I mean, Steve Young spent the first half of his career as a backup.
True.
He spent it at the USFL and then in Tampa Bay and then as a backup. So really, Steve Young's NFL career was short. Which I guess is incredible that he has more yards than Troy Aikman, considering. People forget Troy Aikman went like 1-15 in Dallas at one point.
He wasn't like...
It was Emmitt Smith and it was Michael Irvin. Correct. I think Troy Aikman is probably one of the more overrated quarterbacks in the NFL. History of the NFL. It's a six-point game, by the way. It's now seven-point game. Crowder at the free throw line with 11 seconds.
My guy.
So it looks like my prediction of Miami over Milwaukee in the second round was
correct.
Correct. But
second hot seat is Odell Beckham. We've seen the accusations.
His toilet seat is hot.
Quite warm.
He's got a steamy hot seat, right? The steamy seat.
So dumb.
And if you want to know more, you can look it up.
Just know he likes to have things done to him that are gross.
Yuck.
Yucky.
Thought R. Kelly was bad.
Yeah, if you thought R. Kelly was bad.
If it's true, allegedly.
If it's not.
It's true.
Allegedly.
Is it, Tabo? Do you know?
I sure as heck hope.
My gut is that it's not.
Yeah. My gut also tells me it's not.
Miami is about to win. 2 seconds left, 8-point lead, and they're headed to the free line. So.
Hey, mark my words. Miami goes to the finals. Hey, listen to me now. Miami goes to the finals.
Piggybacking off of my take.
If they go to the finals, I buy myself a Jay Crowder Miami Vice jersey.
All right.
Why not Tyler Hero?
Because Jay
Crowder's my guy.
He's a Crowder guy.
I'm gonna get all the Jay Crowder jerseys. So every team he's been on, that's my guy.
All
right. Yeah.
Hot seat your bank account because it looks like Miami has a very good shot at the finals.
Yep. Well, got a couple weeks.
What happens if they win the finals? Two.
Then I'll buy myself a Tyler Hero Miami Vice jersey.
All right. A finals appearance is a Crowder jersey.
I'm gonna get a Duncan Robinson, dude. Because Duncan Robinson.
At least you've
is
seen
sick.
Duncan Robinson in person.
In person.
Up close too.
Up close.
Courtside.
Right up there.
Court side of the G League.
Yep. Loved it.
You've covered Duncan Robinson.
Technically. I was beat writing. He was playing.
Not much writing took place, but you were at the games.
A lot of interviews.
Yeah. Well,
that's it.
Some interviews.
A lot of watching.
Lots of basketball.
So much watching. Free
and
basketball.
Talking to Gordon Chiesa.
Gordon Chiesa is my guy.
Oh, yeah. Love Gordon.
Miss that man.
Let's talk some college football.
Yes, please.
College football returned this last weekend. We had Army putting together a 19-play touchdown drive versus Middle Tennessee. You had BYU blowing the doors off of Navy.
Yeah.
You had Memphis struggling in the first half against Arkansas State. You had SMU versus Texas State. Not a ton of marquee matchups, but it was college football nonetheless. None of the, I guess you could say, big boys played this weekend, but this coming weekend we got Big 12 kicking off, and we've got the ACC kicking off. SEC doesn't kick off, I think, until the 26th, So we've got a couple more weeks till that happens. But Big 12 and the ACC kicking off this Saturday. We did this last year, but our preseason, we won't do top 25, but we'll do preseason top 10 as we enter 2020. We'll start with number 10.
Weird.
We'll start with you, Alex, okay. And we'll just kind of do a snake draft.
This is weird. It's
not
hard.
A snake draft.
Yeah.
But.
This is hard because it's like you can't have guys that are clear that clearly would be that don't get a play.
Yeah. It's like Michigan, Oregon, Ohio State, Wisconsin. Penn State. Yeah. They're all
there's a
out.
Lot of those are dudes. There's a lot of dudes.
Those were probably those teams probably would have been in the top 10.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So it's like you got five teams in the top 10 that aren't in the top 10. Yep. You know what I'm saying? That's why it's hard. Anyway, number 10, Texas A&M.
All right.
That's who I'm rolling.
My number 10 is I have Oklahoma State.
I like it.
Thank you. Chuba Hubbard is back. He probably would have been the top running back off the board if he had gone to the NFL last season, but he's back. Rushed for 2,100 yards and 21 touchdowns. So I think the Oklahoma State offense is just going to put up a ton of points with Chuba Hubbard at the running back position. And then I just think, you know, Coach Gundy, always exciting. And I think this could be a year where they could make a run in the Big 12 because of some uncertainty at the other programs that are normally at the top of that league. Right. Tabo, you're number 10.
My number 10 is Texas.
Ooh, staying with the Big 12. Like I said, uncertainty at other programs.
And Texas is always like just barely above average. And now this year, they have a chance to be in top 10. There's a lot of people not.
If there's a year for Texas to be back, it's got to be this year.
Yeah,
right. Because half the teams that would be ahead of them aren't playing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you're number 9, Tabo.
Number 9, I'm going with Notre Dame.
Ooh, I like it. My number 9, I have Auburn. Bo Nix. I think their offensive.
A little disrespect over there.
What?
That's supposed to be your guys.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm also realistic. I'm a realistic Auburn fan.
At least he has his guys. At least he has.
Yeah,
his
me
guys.
And you are the only. Our guys are playing. Everyone else's guys are out.
That's what you get for deciding to root for Ohio State this year.
Sucks.
It does.
Justin Fields is going to tear it up. Trust me.
But you got Bo Nix. You got a couple of great weapons in Seth Williams at wide receiver, Anthony Schwartz at wide receiver, and Cartavius Bigsby, the freshman running back. I just like Auburn. I think their defense is going to be good. KJ Britt, Christian Tutt. And then my favorite guy in all of college football, defensive end, Big Cat Bryant with the Auburn Tigers. So they're my number 9. Alex, your number 9.
So my number 9 is Texas.
Okay.
Sam Ellinger is going to, I think he's going to have like kind of like a more of a, is it kind of a prove it year, I guess? Because it's like he's been like up and down. I think this is where he makes his NFL statement. Like, his
7-year college career feels
he's
like.
He's been out there forever.
Right.
Also watching Shane Buechele for SMU too this weekend, who've like played at Texas before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sam Ellinger.
But him and then Tariq Black, I'm excited to watch. They're wide out. He's repping the number 0. I think the number 0 and then burnt orange jerseys is gonna look fantastic.
Oh yeah.
But I'm excited about that. I think Tariq's gonna be a good weapon for Ellinger and I think it's gonna work out well. And my number at 8, Auburn. Again, Bo Nix, I'm excited about. I think they're going to kill it. War Eagle.
My number 8 is Texas. So you talked about it's a prove it year for Sam Ellinger in terms of like NFL.
Yeah, he has like, to make a statement, like his draft stock.
We saw, you know, Joe Burrow was kind of like a guy who was like had an outside shot at the NFL, and then he had one crazy good year, and then he was the number 1 overall pick.
Yep.
Sam Ellinger is another kind of guy that could be like that. Probably he's not going to jump up to number 1 overall because of the guys that are ahead of him.
Yeah, he could be a top 10 draft pick.
Yeah, he could be a first-round draft pick if he has a phenomenal year.
Yeah.
Right? He could jump up there. He's not going to be number 1 just because he's, you know, you have Justin Fields, you have Trevor Lawrence. But I think Sam Ellinger, if he can put it together, you have the two-headed running back monster. And Robinson and Ingram, and then you talked about their wide receiver. I like Brennan Eagles, wide receiver for Texas. So, and again, I think that this year in the Big 12, the door's a little more open than it's been in years past. So, Tabo, you're number 8, and then you're number 7.
All right, my number 8 is going to be Florida.
Ooh, little low. Surprisingly low, I think, because I think a lot of people have Florida as a potential college football playoff team.
Florida, they...
not too high on the Gators.
They weren't, I mean, nobody likes Florida, but Florida's Florida's that team that really...
I mean, you are a half Miami Hurricane fan.
Nobody likes Florida Gators. If anything, that proves my point.
I like the Florida Gators.
I don't
You also decided to root for Ohio State this year, too. So.
Hey, listen, I don't like
Florida. Do we give you another shot at picking a bandwagon team, or will you just make them roll with Oklahoma?
Well, I mean, that's going to happen whether or not. Right?
Yeah, well, you're an actual Oklahoma fan, but do we give you a new bandwagon team?
Yeah, I'll take a new bandwagon. I'll take it.
All right.
I'll give them Notre Dame.
No, I think I need to choose again.
Yeah. Well.
No.
I feel like we...
Should we choose the league?
No, that's not fair. Yeah. Because here's the thing. We all pick top contenders, so you can't just like...
I didn't. Auburn's not a top contender.
They're a top 10 team.
Yeah, they wouldn't be if half the teams didn't play.
They're a top team. So I deserve a top
Auburn
10 team.
Would probably still end up in the top 10.
I don't think so.
They're always knocking on the door.
I would put them at like 13. That's fine.
They'd be top 15. But right now, I mean, if Wisconsin...
That's true, because Talmadge picked Michigan, and
yeah,
they haven't been top 10 in...
Me and
I get to choose my
Talmadge
right now. I am rolling in hot with
Texas. Nice.
Roll Tide.
Texas.
Alabama.
Oh, no.
It turns out
no.
He's going to stick with Oklahoma.
Never mind.
This year.
Yeah, that's fine. Listen, how can I team up?
Tabo picked Clemson.
Can we team up? Like, can I be the same team as someone else?
Sure.
Okay, I like Auburn.
Yes, sir.
Let's go, baby.
Let's go. War Eagle,
baby.
You're number 7, Tabo.
So I have a team here. Trying to feel like what my gut's saying. You know, I'm going to say Auburn here.
War Eagle. Let's go.
War Eagle.
My number 7 is SEC foe LSU. So obviously, LSU, if the other teams like Ohio State and Penn State and Oregon were playing, LSU probably wouldn't be in my top 10. But just because those teams are gone, I think I have them up higher here in the top 10. But, I mean, you lose Joe Burrow, you lose Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you lose Grant Delpit, you lose Patrick Queen. Now Jamar Chase has opted out for the season. You lose so many key contributors from a season ago. But, I mean, you still have other guys. You know, Terrence Marshall Jr. is going to have to step up just because Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase are both gone from the team that won the national championship a season ago. They've got the talent, right? I mean, this is an SEC team. LSU always is going to have talent. But just with so many new faces, I feel like it's going to be a bit of a dip this year for LSU. I could see them finishing outside of the top 10. But heading into the year, I've got them at number 7. Alex. Your number 7, and then your number 6.
So my number 7 is LSU.
There you go.
Same reason. Come on, they lost everybody.
Everyone's gone.
I think
Jamar Chase was going to be like the one dude, like who's like, oh, Jamar Chase is back, like we can rely on him, and then he opted out.
Yeah. So it's like they were showing there's the like, three names that like were highlighted.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like okay.
But it's LSU, so like they're going to have top 10 talent still.
Exactly. Then my number 6 is Notre Dame. I think Brian Kelly's going to show up for their squad, right?
Yep.
Their defense this year is actually looking decent. Their one D lineman, Ogundeji? I can't remember how to say his last name.
Wait, go try again.
Ogundeji. I don't know.
Close enough.
Monster.
Neither do we.
So I'm excited to see what they're going to do. That's my number 6.
Nice. My number 6 is also Notre Dame.
There you go.
The Irish offense averaged 431 yards last year and 37 points per game. Running attack was solid. I just think that they're being in the ACC, you're probably going to get some more wins that you normally wouldn't have just because the ACC is not as strong of a league as we're used to seeing in years past. I mean, Clemson pretty much like... sleepwalked through all of last year and went undefeated. But I like the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and I think that they could actually give Clemson a run for their money here in 2020.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Tabo, you're number 6, and then you're number 5.
All right, my number six, I'm going to go with UCF.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
I was actually...
All right.
They were...
Alex's face.
I'm shocked.
He is in true shock.
Hey, man, the... What do they call themselves? The rifle champs that never...
4 years ago.
The best champs never.
They should have got a shot.
Oh, yeah. Three, four years ago.
But I think they're 10-3 last year. I feel like
is tough. AAC is criminally underrated.
Top.
Cincinnati's going to be good. I don't know.
But UCF has stayed strong.
Yeah.
Last 4 or 5 years.
I know.
Not
no, it's just to their credit.
Not even just breaking top 10. You're from at six.
Yeah. Wow. Why not this year?
Why not this
year?
Also true.
Voters will be able to focus on them more instead of all this.
It's true. The AAC is pretty much like the... they are the fourth best league playing right now.
Whatever.
You could even make an argument that they're deeper than the AAC, ACC.
Yeah, listen, I'm shocked.
Clemson, Notre Dame are better, but the AAC, you have SMU, you have Houston, you have, I guess Navy just got wrecked, but Navy was 11-2 last year. You have Memphis, SMU, UCF, Cincinnati is good. AAC is very underrated. Crazy high, though, I think, in my personal opinion.
Yeah,
but I like that you're bringing the hot takes. I like that you brought a little flavor, a little spice to this roundtable discussion.
I was thinking about it. I was like, wait a minute. Like,
why not?
The team, like, it's zero coverage. I'm like, this team's good.
Crazy.
You're number five.
My number five is going to be LSU. I feel like they're still, as long as Coach O is... at the helm, they're gonna.
Go Tigers.
That was good.
they're gonna find a way to string those wins. Yes, they're in one of the, probably no. Yeah, they are in the toughest conference. But I feel like, you know, after riding off of a championship, you don't go away that fast. Like in pro sports, right? You can go zero to hero and reverse that just as quickly. But in college, right? Like as soon as they see the championship, you're. Recruiting, it just goes up. A lot of people want to come in. A lot of fresh faces, new legs. So I feel like LSU is still going to be a problem, still be in the conversation, but I don't think they'll be in the national championship game.
I think we all agree on that.
Yeah.
My number five is the Florida Gators. Kyle Trask at quarterback, senior season.
Yep.
Kyle Pitts at the tight end. I think Trevon Grimes is a great target on the edge at wide receiver. They do lose C.J. Henderson, who I really liked coming out. He's a defensive back. He got drafted by the Jaguars at, I believe, number 9. But on the defense, you still got a couple of playmakers in that secondary. You got Sean Davis, who's a senior safety, and then you got cornerback Marco Wilson. So you got playmakers on the offense and the defensive sides of the ball. I think this is a year, like I said, that Georgia could be a sneaky college football playoff team.
The Gators. Florida.
Yes.
Not Georgia.
Did I say Georgia?
Yeah, you said Georgia, but we're good. We're here.
Florida.
Yeah.
Hey, man, he said what his heart felt.
Yeah.
I was just so into the...
Yeah, so into it. Anyway.
Into the breakdown.
I am with you 100% at five. I also have the Florida Gators. Kyle Trask, I have faith.
Yes.
And
come on.
I'm riding with it. Number four, my Oklahoma Sooners is who I have at four. I don't know...
No, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I don't know how much faith I have in Spencer Rattler. We'll see.
TBD. TBD on the Rat Man.
We will see. Our defense has gotten a lot worse. Our defense
can it get worse?
Yeah. Which is saying something.
Yeah, it's like...
Well, no Kenneth Murray.
Yeah, which was our defense. Which was our defense, right? That was the guy on our
defense. You lost your whole defense.
You lost all of Kenneth Murray.
Yeah, so we're going to see, you know, no more CD Lamb.
Tough.
That sucks.
Yep.
But you know what? I still think you got to give him that four spot, but we'll see how it goes.
Just because they've run the Big 12 for the last half decade.
Exactly.
My number four is Georgia.
Mm.
You got George Pickens. You lose Jake Fromm, and then your quarterback Jamie Newman opts out, the transfer from Wake Forest. You do have JT Daniels, the USC transfer.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a talented Power 5 caliber quarterback still. Right. I mean, it's Georgia. You're going to be able to bring in solid quarterbacks. I just think that normally, if Jamie Newman would have been playing this year, I think he's good enough that I would have had him at three. But him dropping out drops him in a spot in my ranking. So I have him at the number four spot. Tabo, you're four, and then you're three.
I'm going to go with you. I'm going to piggyback on your team. Also at number four, the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yep. Like it. You're number three.
Number three, Oklahoma Sooners.
He's higher on the Sooners than you are, Alex.
Bad choice.
I just they're gonna win their conference, right? They've been in charge of that conference for quite some time now.
They've been running that, running it.
And so I feel like as a conference winner, you're gonna be higher than Georgia. Georgia won't be winning the SEC, but so yeah, I have Oklahoma at three.
My number three is also Oklahoma.
Look at that.
Interesting. I appreciate it, my dudes.
Here's the thing. You're breaking in Spencer Rattler, the Rat Man, at quarterback. But your best two players on that offense are offensive linemen. You have your center, Creed Humphrey. You got your guard, Marquise Hayes. And then they will provide the protection for Spencer Rattler. Losing Kennedy Brooks, who opted out, is going to be hard just because any good young quarterback – it always helps to have a good run game, and then you also lose CeeDee Lamb. But here's the thing. You're playing in the Big 12. You really got to worry about just a couple of teams, right? I mean, Texas, Oklahoma State, and then a team that I'm going to talk about a little bit later in my dark horse team to be a playoff team, like real dark horse. That was not none of us have listed. I want to hear if your dark horse that you did not put in your top 10 that could potentially make a run at the playoff. But
yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So you're in the Big 12. It's a weaker conference. You've run the conference for the last decade. I just think that until Lincoln Riley shows otherwise, he's in charge of the Big 12. He runs the Big 12. Lincoln Riley runs that stuff over there in the Midwest. So I'm going with Oklahoma at my number three just because I think that they're going to be able to put up points. And Lincoln Riley's shown that he can turn anyone into a Heisman candidate quarterback, so why not Spencer Rattler?
Might as well.
So, my number three.
I'll take it.
Your number two, and then your number one.
Three and two. So, my number three is actually Georgia.
Okay.
I still think they're going to be good. They are going to have to roll in with JT Daniels. We'll see how that goes.
Yep.
I don't know how their defense, because usually their defense is always pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know how well it's going to be this year. So that could be a little bit of a dent, but we'll see. Maybe JT Daniels just said, we don't need a defense. I'm just going to score a lot of points.
Why not?
We'll see. My number two, all right, is Alabama. All right. I still don't know if they've come up with a starting quarterback yet. I don't know if they're going with that Bryce Young
or Mac Jones.
Yeah. So I don't know which one they're going with. So we'll see once they figure that out. Because, you know, they seem to always have this quarterback duo thing going on that they can't make decisions on. It's whatever. But, yeah, Roll Tide. That's my new team right now. Auburn. That's right, Auburn.
Auburn is your new team.
Yeah. War Eagle.
My computer just like, here we go.
You're number two.
I'm looking for the quarterback.
I couldn't find anything that said that they had. I just had to pick the starter.
I mean, I guess they don't start till the 26th, so they've got time.
Right.
My number two is Alabama. Just because I don't think the quarterback is going to really matter because you just if you're the Alabama quarterback, get back to what they did pre-Tua.
Pre-Jalen.
You turn around and you hand the ball off.
Yep.
You hand it off to Mark Ingram. You hand it off to Trent Richardson. You hand it off to Derrick Henry, and now you turn around and you hand it off to Najee Harris. That's going to be the Alabama offense. And if you need, you have Devontae Smith and you have Jalen Waddle on the outside.
Right.
But it's going to be Najee Harris, and then you're going to rely on an NFL-caliber defense. Like, that's what that's what Alabama does. That's what they've always done. That's what they're going to do this year. So I have Alabama at my number two. Your number two and your number one, Tabo.
Also Alabama.
There you go. I don't think there's going to be a lot of difference between our ones and twos here.
Nah.
It shouldn't be.
You're number one.
The big paw.
Yep.
Clemson Tigers.
Only after I sent you that video, right?
I mean, I picked them a while ago. Remember, I bought the shirt, but the shirt wasn't the shirt that I thought it was. Anyway, yeah, the video is just, anything just cements it. You're like, you know what, these are guys who, like, what can't they do? Talented, all across the board.
Yeah, they did a, I don't, it's not a parody, because it's just the same thing.
It's a cover,
lip sync.
Yeah.
Of Drake's Laugh Now, Cry Later, but they used their campus instead of the Nike campus. It was actually pretty well done. They're my number one as well. Trevor Lawrence, obviously, is probably going to be the number one overall pick.
I would assume.
Heisman, yeah.
Like, unless something crazy happens, and depending on who gets the number one pick, right? I mean, right. Penny Sewell is going to be up there. Yeah. If a team who has a young quarterback who just really needs offensive line help, a la Washington football team, perhaps, then I could see a guy like Penny Sewell going number one overall. But if it's anyone else, really, Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one overall pick. Travis Etienne comes back. You lose T. Higgins, your wide receiver, but you got a couple of young guys. You have Amari Rodgers, or not young, in Amari Rodgers, who's a senior, but Joseph Nagata, who's a sophomore wide receiver on the outside. But again, Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. Like, those have been your two guys for the last few years when you're making the national championship every year. They're going to be your guys again this season, so I have Clemson at my number one.
Same. There isn't an argument there. Like, how can you sit there and say, no, they're not number one. Give it to me.
Yeah.
Let me hear it. I'm all ears. Hit my DMs. I want to hear it.
If you think they're not.
Yeah.
That's going to be our list. So we'd make a list every time. That's our list. Real quick, run through a new segment, fact or fiction. So I'll give you a statement, and you tell me if that's a fact or if it's fiction.
Hit me with it.
Fact or fiction, BYU will go undefeated, Alex.
Fiction. They just don't. They look great.
Who do they lose to?
To somebody. They just, BYU
Troy?
BYU doesn't go undefeated.
Tabo, fact or fiction, the Chiefs should be Super Bowl favorites in 2020.
Fact. Will they be? Who knows? But I feel like, out of respect, right?
They
bringing back
favorites.
All their important people. If you're going to pay him, if you're going to pay Patrick that type of money, you want
half
him.
A bill. Half a bill.
You're going to want him to return the Patrick.
He should
to Super
be
Bowl.
The favorites every
15
year.
Years from now, people will be making almost $1 billion, and it's going to be disgusting. On it.
Fact or fiction, Alex, Lamar Jackson will have an MVP caliber season in 2020.
Fact. I mean, if nothing really changed for his offensive line, and it's like if he can play the way he does and defenses still can't figure him out, he's going to do it. He's going to do that. Will he win it? No, he's going to come in second place, but to my boy Russell Wilson, but that's okay.
But he'll have an MVP caliber.
Correct. He will be in the running.
Tabo, fact or fiction, the Steelers' defense will be the best in the NFL.
Fiction.
Thank you.
Who will be?
Ooh, I don't know. I'm really liking Bills.
Yes, sir.
Bills got
yes, sir.
In the right division. Like, you can have
it.
It
helps
great...
when you play Fitzpatrick and Sam Darnold a couple times a year, times a year.
Steelers have to play Baltimore. And who knows what will happen in those games?
Alex, fact or fiction? College football is better than the NFL.
Fact.
Really?
That's a fact.
I'm an NFL.
Hold
on,
whoa! I'm an NFL guy. I love the NFL, but college football.
He understands.
Is better.
I like the environment of college football. I like the product.
Sure,
of the NFL.
I can say that, but it's because college football does bring you in an environment. It's an atmosphere that you can't get anywhere else. So it's just like, come on.
Yeah. Tabo, fact or fiction, Oklahoma will make the college football playoffs.
Fact.
Alex, fact or fiction, the Miami Heat will make the NBA finals.
Fact.
Whoa.
Tabo, fact or fiction, Giannis is a top three player in the NBA.
It's a no-brainer. It's a fact.
Alex?
That's a fact. It's a fact. Come on. Just because he's a fact.
There are three people ahead of him, Hunter.
Kawhi. LeBron.
And?
AD. Healthy Kevin Durant.
KD. A healthy KD, a healthy Steph.
Ooh.
Oh, now he's like five.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Giannis. Giannis underperforming.
Player of the year.
Giannis underperforming in the playoffs every year is concerning.
Is Luka top five? Because if you're going to put him in that category as well?
Luka just got here.
Yeah, hold on.
But is he?
No.
You don't think he is?
No.
Where does he line up?
Overall, top 15. This year, top 10. Just because it's important to note that like KD, Steph, Klay did not play this year.
All right, I agree. Some people just think he was top
but
five.
Giannis.
But Luka just does it all. You know.
But like Giannis, I mean Kawhi... LeBron, healthy Steph, healthy KD, Harden. Like, I don't think it's a gimme that Giannis is a top three player just when you look at the overall body of work. He has MVP caliber seasons, yes, but then he comes up short and does not play like an MVP in the playoffs.
I know, but like MVP is an individual award. Best in the
but
league.
But Giannis does not perform in the playoffs.
Yeah, but he has the accolades that will tell you that he is, if not the best.
I mean, I went off about the NBA being a championship-driven league.
Yeah.
Earlier. I'm just saying, there's a difference between not winning championships and and underperforming in the playoffs. Like, Malone and Stockton did not win a championship because they underperformed in the playoffs. They didn't win a championship because they ran into Michael Jordan.
Yeah, there's plenty of teams that were better than them.
But there are players, Harden recently, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis when he was in New Orleans, who underperform in the playoffs. Who have phenomenal regular seasons and they get to the playoffs and then they underperform. Giannis has been that way so far, which is why I pose the question.
When you think of...
I just don't think it's a gimme. I wouldn't say for sure he's a top three. When you look at a total body of work, when you take a step back and you look at what do they do regular season and playoffs overall. Like, would you say Giannis is above a healthy Steph?
Yeah, because you can't guard Giannis.
I'm not talking about in a one-on-one situation. I'm talking about as a player in their respective roles and what they're asked to do. Like, I'm not saying if Giannis went one-on-one versus Steph, yeah, Giannis would probably win just because he's a foot taller. But I'm saying as a overall player, as an NBA player, Giannis or Steph?
Giannis, he does more. Steph isn't very good defensively.
Didn't Giannis he lead the league in steals like 2 years ago?
Probably one of his, if anything, probably one of his MVP years.
Yeah.
But when you think of the best
That's what
player,
a guard should do. A guard's not going to lead the league in blocks.
No, but Giannis Steph is literally good... unstoppable. Like, you can't stop Giannis on offense.
Okay, but you can. It's hard you to make him shoot threes. That's how you stop Giannis on offense.
And he's starting to make
He's them. Not. The Miami Heat showed that.
He's only going to get better. This is like probably his first year that he's like, you know what? I want to shoot multiple threes a game. He's getting better from where he was 2 years ago.
Okay, but we can't look at it and as, well, what can he be in a couple of years? I'm saying right now.
Overall, Giannis is a better player than Steph. When you think of the best player in the world, you probably ask yourself one of these two questions. One, like, who is either hardest to guard or, like, most unstoppable? And
but Giannis isn't hard to guard. You just clog the paint and then you force him to
take
jumpers.
He can start his gather from the three-point line and there's nothing you're going
to
do about it.
If you're in the half court, you just force him to shoot.
How many teams try to do that?
Well, Heat did, and they nearly got swept. Gentlemen's sweep.
But he's still
did Giannis play
tonight? The Raptors did last year.
Giannis didn't even play tonight, or half the game last night.
Yeah.
So it's like
they were 0-3 with Giannis. They were 1-1. They were 1-1 without him in the Miami Heat series.
God dang.
And then the other question you ask. The other question you ask is if you're starting a franchise today, right? Like, which players in the league do you want to, would you
If you are an NBA team and you want to win a championship in 2021, this offseason, you have a chance to sign Giannis or Steph. Who do you sign?
It depends who you already have.
If you just have the, if you're a fantasy draft, right? And if you're doing the NBA 2K, My Career, and you do fantasy draft to start, and you're going all in on 2021, are you taking Steph or are you taking Giannis?
You're probably taking Giannis.
I disagree.
Here's the thing.
You're taking Steph.
Steph is a great offensive mind, right?
He's great defensively. He's not going to shut anyone down because he's small.
But like,
yeah.
He can't lock anyone down.
He can lock down opposing guards.
And the thing with Giannis is like, if for some reason
could Giannis guard Steph? 15, could Giannis guard Steph for more than like one possession on a switch?
Okay, well, they shouldn't be guarding each other.
That was your argument.
No, I'm saying as an overall player, Giannis can do more than Steph.
I violently disagree with that.
You hear that, Tabo? Violent.
More?
Aggressively.
You can do...
Offensively, what can Giannis do? Offensively, what can Giannis do? Get to the rim.
Yeah,
offensively, what can
no one can stop him. So
offensively, what can Steph do? Shoot threes, pull up mid range, and get to the rim.
And no one can stop him.
Yeah, but there's more people that can guard
but
Steph.
But that's more things. But that's more things. You said that Giannis does more than Steph.
The hardest thing to do is stopping someone at the, like, is stopping someone from driving. Like, it's what we saw LeBron before
but
he started
to
focus on his threes.
We've seen them stop. Train. We've seen them stop Giannis.
We've seen
now for three straight
Steph,
years.
And Steph has other shooters around him, or he's just a great passer. He's a great.
We have not seen teams contain a healthy Steph Curry. We haven't.
It's more possible than
they
stop
won
Giannis.
Three chips. Three of them.
Yeah, they have a better team.
Hey.
I agree.
Tapa, walk away with the L. I'm sorry. You can't. You're not winning this one.
Who's a better all-around player, Wiz?
Out of those two?
Yeah.
Steph.
Right now. In 3 years, if Giannis develops a jump shot and a three-point shot, then I will concede.
And I'm saying he's just getting better.
Giannis has the potential to be better.
Hey, you can say
but I'm saying right now, a healthy Steph is better than Giannis. Just because he does more for you, and he's a proven winner. You don't see Steph's not underperforming in the playoffs. Other people shine, Durant, Iguodala, their first championship, but Steph's still putting up numbers.
Yeah,
it just happens to be Iguodala contains LeBron for a series, and so they give him the MVP. It just happens to be that you're playing with Durant. But even take Steph out of it, Durant or Giannis?
Healthy Durant.
Giannis or Kawhi?
Kawhi. I don't know. Kawhi
Make the smart answer. We saw these two go head to head last year in the playoffs, and what happened?
Well, I'm not taking like matchup straight up, but I'm thinking of who.
I'm telling you overall players though, body of work.
I'm talking about all around.
How many Finals MVPs does Kawhi have?
Two? Does he have two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's not underperforming in the playoffs. Giannis is great. He has two. He's going to be back-to-back MVP for a reason. But when it comes to the playoffs, Giannis has under-delivered the last
few
seasons.
And Giannis is also Defensive Player of the Year, which is something that Steph could never do.
Because Steph's not 7 feet.
Can't block everyone's shot.
Like,
but I'm still saying he's having accolades in more categories.
A 6'2 guard is not going to win Defensive Player of the Year.
True.
That's why Marcus Smart hasn't won Defensive Player of the Year. That's why Patrick Beverley hasn't won Defensive Player of the Year. Because they're undersized guards. To be Defensive Player of the Year, you got to be like 6'8 and above. Because Defensive Player of the Year, you're going to have the blocks. Steph Curry's not going to average rebound. 2 blocks a game. He's not going to average, X amount of defensive rebounds per game. But he's still going to lead the league in steals. And for a guard, that's really as much as you can do. So,
yeah.
Unless you start getting into advanced stats, which is another argument.
Yeah.
I just think it's not a slam dunk of a take as it appears to be that Giannis is top three. Like, if you were, because I agree with you, when I asked you this question, your initial reaction was, of course, right? And I think when you read that, you think, of course. But then you take a step back and you look at it as the whole body of work, and I think it's not as easy of a question as some people make it out to be, including myself. Until I take a step back and view the whole body of work, take into account the other guys, a healthy Steph, a healthy KD, and we don't know. I mean, KD may come back from an Achilles injury. That's a pretty brutal injury, and KD may not be the same KD. But I'm just saying, when we take a step back, we look at Giannis and we say, man, he's back-to-back MVP, but both years he's under-delivered in the playoffs. I think that's an issue. So that's my take.
It is what it is.
Good, good little chat there.
No, it's good. I'm glad someone's willing to engage in the debate. Because I think most people would probably just be like, oh, well, no, he's top three. He's MVP. But like engaging in an actual conversation, I think is good. And it's entertaining to listen to. So any other final thoughts you guys want to get off your chest? NFL back this weekend.
NFL back. Power. Just got the text. My power is on.
All right.
So
Thursday.
We're boys are at the place on Thursday.
Thursday, we're there.
If you guys hit my DMs, there are two spots available to come watch with the boys. So whoever the first two, early bird gets the worm. If you hit my DMs,
hit us up.
We'll let you come party
Make sure
with
that he
the
sees
boys.
Them.
Exactly.
Yep.
Something like that.
In the ballpark. Right.
This has been the Off-Field Generals podcast for all of us. Go do whatever it is these other podcasters tell you to do with their podcast. Like, subscribe, review, all that good stuff. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Give us a follow. DM Alex. You can come watch the game with us on Thursday. for all of us here at Tuned In Sports. Peace.